Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there, and we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking you for granted.
Hello and welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two Hugh Grant enthusiasts watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film Taking Hugh for Granted? Is this film good on its own or does it rely on the bumbling Brit for its acclaim? I'm Dougal Waite and I'm joined as always by my colleague and fellow Hugh Grant obsessive Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the bloody hell are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing great, Diggs. How are you, mate?
I'm okay. I'm coming off the back of an illness, a terrible cold that has ripped its way through the UK. Everyone's talking about it here. Although it's not that cold. It's not the evil COVID that everyone's going on about. It's just the other thing going on. And it's a weird one. It has, a lot of people really struggle with it. But for me, it just hasn't gone away for ages. Mm. It still lingers at the back of my throat somewhere. I don't know if people may be able to hear that, but it's a very, very odd one. But how are you? How was your... You've left the UK again.
I know, Diggs. And sadly, we didn't bloody organise ourselves to do it. An in-person recording. We saw each other quite a bit, didn't we? And then we just...
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things where we were like, let's do it this weekend. And then we were like...
Let's
just hang out. Yeah. Like, I mean, not that doing Hugh Grant stuff is not fun, but...
Yeah. Well, it's like Christmas. It only comes around once a year. It feels like that anyway, you coming back to town. So it's like, well, you know... Our favourite thing to do is watch Hugh Grant films. Our favourite, even better than that, is to watch them together. Mm. However, we've seen so bloody many of them now as well that it's hard to put the time together to watch them both together.
Yeah. Well, I did actually watch a very good film in the cinema last night. I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
You might be interested. Have you seen Last Night in Soho?
Oh, mate, I really, really want to see this. And I want to get your thoughts on it because I love the director, Edgar Wright, who did Hot Fuzz and all that sort of stuff. But I'm trying not to, like, I haven't watched any trailers or anything, because all of his films I love. So, yeah, I just want to know, was it good?
It was good.
And is it scary?
Yeah, it is scary.
Really?
I was surprised that it was a PG. I mean, it wasn't scary in the sense...
It's a PG?
It's a PG. Or it was a
Or
it was a PG over here. I mean... Look, you know me, I get scared easily. I was going like this with my eyes kind of half open during some of the scary bits. It wasn't a horror film. It was very much kind of like a Hitchcock film, like lots of like loud noises,
suspense,
motifs of like, you know, she's in this room where there's like she's by a neon sign which is like flashing red and flashing white and flashing blue, so it's sort of like all the suspense and you don't quite know where, if she's in reality or not, it was really well done, I thought. And you know, it sort of had that the London 60s vibe was very cool. And I really enjoyed Matt Smith's performance. I just love that guy. He's class.
Oh, wow. Matt Smith's in it.
Yeah, it's class.
Well, I literally have no idea about this film at all. I know it's about... obviously a girl's in it. I know it's set in Soho. That is literally what I know.
You know, have you watched The Queen's Gambit as well?
Is it the same person from that?
Same girl in that as well. Yeah, she's in it.
Oh, right. Oh, that's so cool. Oh, my God. That's so interesting. But this is the thing. And the reason I asked if it's scary is because Me and my, I'm going to say my girlfriend, she really wants to, she was like, oh, we really want to go to the cinema. I haven't been to the cinema ages because of like lockdown stuff. And I was like, yeah, let's go to the cinema. That'd be amazing. And we were like looking at films we want to go and see. And there's a few films like that. What's the Lady Gaga one with Adam Driver? House of Gucci. That looks fun. And a bit mad. There's a few things like that. But like a lot of them, I mean, Dune is like the biggest film to come out in ages. But like that just... It really, nothing about that to me is like, I want to see that.
Look,
it just looks like...
Last Night in Soho is one of those films where you go into the cinema and you watch the film and suddenly it's over. You're like, that just happens.
Really?
Yeah, that's
so cool. Really? But she, the reason why is she said, is it a horror film? And I was like, it says on IMDb, it says horror, psychological thriller. I don't know, but... And she's... She hates horror films. Understandably, they're horrible. They're horrible.
It's more on the side of thriller than horror, I would say. And right. if it's a PG, you can tell her it's a PG.
Yeah.
It can't be that scary.
Exactly.
There's definitely some moments that you jump out of your skin, but you expect that in in any kind of thriller horror film. It's not.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say it's
true.
A traditional horror film. It's more of a thriller, and it's a lot of fun. You know, like there's this moment where they like go into the 60s, and they're in front of like. The big theater, and it has like Thunderball, James Bond, and it's the music's fun. So I would recommend it. But maybe we should stop talking about this film and talk about film we're talking about today.
Yes.
Honor, Profit, and Pleasure.
Shall we have a synopsis from Synopsis Simon?
Let's go, Simon.
Honor, Profit and Pleasure, written by Anna Ambrose and Peter Luke, directed by Anna Ambrose and released as a TV movie in 1985. After the success of his London debut, German composer George Frederick Handel, played by Simon Callow, settles in England. However, after the public rejects a string of his operas and a stroke nearly fells him, Handel embarks on a high-risk gamble for his 1742 oratorio, Messiah.
Wonderful stuff there from Synopsis Simon, as always. And as he mentions, it is a TV movie we're doing today. A TV movie, Honour, Profit and Pleasure. 1985.
That's going back a bit, isn't it?
Oh my word, that's insane. So
was there even TV
profit...
then?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Well, actually, that's so funny that you say that. Because, so the way that we watch this film, it is someone's up very kindly uploaded it to YouTube. I feel like we're in a very hot streak lately of people uploading Hugh Grant films to YouTube, and we cannot thank them enough. However, having said that, this particular upload to YouTube is so shite.
It's so bad. It's the worst upload ever.
It's so bad. And do you know what? Listen, if the person who's uploaded this is listening...
William Morris is his name. Hero.
William, you're a hero, mate. Don't get it twisted. You are a legend. Thank you so much. However, it is unfortunate because what's happened is it's from 1985. William has recorded it off a VHS tape and it has this, I mean, death-curdlingly loud hum throughout. It is just, literally, imagine you're listening to this podcast, but the whole way through someone's going... You can't. So when people are speaking, there's nothing behind this whole. You can't hear them because it's going on the whole time. The comments are flooded with people going, "What's the point of putting this on YouTube?" But obviously, we saw this on YouTube. We thought, "Oh, brilliant! The whole video, the whole film's there. Let's watch it." And only when I actually sat down to watch today was I like, "Oh, I actually don't know what's going on."
Fair ladies and kind gentlemen, all. I give you Mr. George Handel and his opera, Rinaldo.
Before we talk more about that, we should talk about the context in which we are actually reviewing this episode.
Of course.
Our listeners, you'll be very sad to hear that we indeed have watched every single Hugh Grant film and reviewed every single one, bar one, now.
Well, I actually think it's bar two, by the way.
Is it?
I've re-crunched the numbers. We said a week ago or a couple of weeks back that there's one to go. And we think that one is...
The Dawning.
Anthony Hopkins, 1988, I believe. However, I think in 2005, he did a film called Travaux, a French film. And I think it is a feature film. And again, the thing about Travaux as well is that's in French. The whole thing is in French. And I think Hugh Grant speaks French. So there's yes. two things there. Exactly. There's two things going on there. One, it's so much harder to find because it's in French. And two, I want to see it 10 times more because Hugh Grant speaks French in it. And I assume has to play a French character.
That is brilliant.
Annoyingly, we've actually got two left. So what have we done about The Dawning? Because we can't find it anywhere. So we've come up with a solution. What have we done?
We've bought the DVD on eBay, both of us. Which, to be honest, like we were saying, is a miracle that we've got this far finding links online to every single one of his films.
Incredible.
Until now. And obviously, we were going to record. Then we realized neither of us could find a link. So we thought, we're going to have to postpone this episode while we buy it on DVD. Diggs's version has been sent over from Canada, in fact, from St. John's, Newfoundland. They cost us an arm and a leg to buy the Dawning, so it better be bloody good, and it's not rated particularly highly on IMDb.
Yeah, exactly. The reviews aren't great.
But that's you've got to put the dedication in. I guess we would say that this is a little bit of a stopgap because we do technically just review his films, and this is his first ever TV film. This is his first TV credit, so it is important in his filmography.
That's a really good point. Because we have done films such as The Lady and the Highwayman, which are also TV movies, and there's no real, like we said from the beginning, we want to do his filmography, his proper feature films from all the ones that are on IMDb, and so far we are on track to do that. We've got, as I say, I think two left, which also I think I found a DVD for Travaux, but mate, we're gonna have to spend so much money.
Well, how much is it?
I think it says for me like $30 again, which would be about £25. And also, I think it'll be coming from France probably, which is quite good for me, not great for you.
Diggs, I think what we're going to have to do, and I was thinking about this, maybe what we'll have to do is that you'll play it on your TV, zoom me in, and then I can watch your screen.
Oh my God. That's actually genius. That's very clever.
We could do a live recording.
Oh my God, we could do a live recording. Now we're talking. The thing is, what needs to happen is, as well, especially with Travaux, is like, I need to make sure I get a DVD that I can navigate to some sort of like subtitles or something in there. Like, that's very important that I'm actually able to do that, because I'm really worried that I won't be able to. There's a film called Richie Rich starring Macaulay Culkin. Fantastic film. The only DVD I could find for that was in German. And I could never watch it because obviously I can find the option where I can change it to English or, you know, remove the German dubbing. No, couldn't do it. It was all in German. And so I've got this great DVD of an old film that I want to watch and I can't watch it. So I hope that doesn't happen again with us.
You just have to learn German, Diggs.
Yeah. Yeah. is that German?
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Exactly, yeah. crikey. So I guess that's the context.
You got the context. Now you get the context of the film, of which there isn't a lot.
Yeah. So this film is about Handel, George Frederick Handel, another film where Hugh Grant is about, you know, a famous composer.
It's a bit of a trend, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He's played, because obviously Hugh Grant's played Chopin twice, once in a short film and once in...
Impromptu,
thank you so much. My goodness. And actually, speaking of his films, this also reminded me of Restoration, because Hugh Grant has the big wig. But maybe we'll talk about him, his appearance in a second. But this film, I think, is like celebrating 300 years of Handel or something. Something like that. I think that's why they made it. And so the film is essentially just like Handel's life. Isn't it?
I think. It's honestly, I apologize to our listeners because we're going to keep on saying this. I think it's that, because I honestly didn't understand anything that was happening, because it was like watching a silent film.
yeah, essentially. And so every now and then you'd hear something that was in English and you'd be like, oh. The rest of the film was in what I would call language. It is completely incomprehensible. So unfortunately, our review will... This is why I'm glad it's not one of his like main feature films that we used to do. But like our review will very much be like, it looked like this. It looked like that. So that's a good point to go on to. Hugh Grant's look in the film.
Mm.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, like you said, he is it's another period piece. And he sort of has two looks, doesn't he? I mean, we'll say again.
yeah,
he's in this film for approximately 2 minutes, maybe less.
Yeah.
My dear Mr. Hembrook, is there something the matter with the harpsichord? Has one of the strings broken?
No. I do not want to interrupt the conversation of the gentleman.
Oh. Please go on. You may depend on all the attention which the occasion requires, and which your merit ought before to have commanded. Good.
One of his looks, he's got the long wig, restoration-like.
Mm. Yeah.
And the other one, he's sort of got like a red beret on or something.
Yeah, it looks like a nightcap. You know, like when someone in an old cartoon is like, you know, the old person's like, oh, it's asleep. And they're like, what noise are you making? They get out of bed and they're wearing like that floppy hat. Mm. That almost looks like a Father Christmas hat, but really floppy. Mm. But obviously without being red, you know, like a 90. Essentially, that feels like what he's wearing. And he tells Handel to keep playing. That's a word that I got out there. But he looks essentially ridiculous.
He does look pretty ridiculous.
It made me think, like, what if this is his first credit? Must he have been thinking, what the fuck is filmmaking? What have they made me dress up like? This is so stupid. I look like an idiot.
Are you a business owner? Are you running a political campaign? Are you a furniture outlet having yet another sale? If the answer to any of those questions isn't no, then you can have your advertisement right here. The Taking You For Granted podcast gets over 100 listeners every single episode. For prices starting as low as six figures, you could have your advertisement right here. So what are you waiting for? Email takingyouforgranted@gmail.com today for a full price list, and you could have your advertisement right here.
We should talk about, though, Diggs, Simon Callow.
Yes, of course.
Simon Callow plays Handel in this film. And, I mean, we've seen Simon in... quite a few. I mean, universe-wise, he's up there, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's in Morris.
Yeah.
And he's in Four Weddings, of course. So,
indeed.
Simon Callow's like, I feel like by like 1995, or you know, kind of Four Weddings era, he's sort of got a bit like dishevelled and kind of. He looks quite fresh in this film, is what I'm trying to say.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, it's kind of similar, actually, to Hugh Grant. I don't think Hugh Grant looks at all dishevelled by Four Weddings and a Funeral, but obviously when you see him now in 1985, you think, oh my God, the baby face is even more baby. Mm. But Simon Callow in particular, yeah, in Four Weddings and a Funeral, it works as well, because obviously he has the, as they all do, I guess, but he has that big tragedy.
Mm.
So the dishevelled, but you're right, in this one, he did look rather smooth, maybe a bit too smooth.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It's just like, I suppose for Handel, I don't, because I imagine him as being old because he's from literally the 18th century. That's probably why I'm like, why is Handel smooth?
What do you know about Handel?
Do you know what's really embarrassing is my dad is, this is actually quite interesting. I do know a lot about Handel. And do you know what? Not a lot, but I know a very interesting fact about Handel. So my dad loves Handel.
Mm.
And
very
did
cultured.
Handel just compose? Well, yeah, this is a man who drinks a lot of red wine. Of course, he loves culture, and he's an alcoholic. But so he loves Handel. Now, is Handel just a composer of music, or did he compose operas? That seems to be what was going on in this film, or were they just singing for the hell of it? Have you got any idea? What do you know about Handel first?
That's a good question. I mean, my mum is also a big Handel fan. So we...
Yeah.
Cultures.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. oh, this is embarrassing now.
But I mean, I know I don't know that much about him, apart from he's very famous for composing The Messiah, which is his big thing.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that shows up at the end.
And also the coronation tune, Zadok the Priest, which is which they play in Johnny English, obviously.
Yeah, yes. That's where we know it from. Yeah. Not any coronations, we know it from Johnny English.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we haven't seen a coronation in our lifetime, so I look forward to Prince Charles' coronation, where I'll be like, I know that song, that one from Johnny English.
Yeah. There's of course a coronation in this film of King
George I, I think.
George I, yeah.
Yeah.
And I should know that. I watched the film. I couldn't hear what was going on. But it's perhaps the most boring scene in the world, where basically this film, because obviously it's set in like lots of theatres and stuff, and there's lots of operas going on and things like that, very cleverly... I think it's operas. they're watching a lot of theatre, and so a lot of the sets in the film are like theatre sets, and they'll be explaining bits about Handel's life by using theatre sets. Now that works because it's like, oh look, he makes theatre stuff, and we're gonna have our sets be theatre. But also, it's cheap as hell. And the scene where the coronation goes on, it's literally, I don't know, 8 people stood around the king, and they are all staring forwards at the camera. The coronation music is going on, and that is it. I don't think so anyone moves for maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes of screen time, and the camera's just slowly, and you're just watching at music going on. No one is finding that interesting until, to be fair, 2 little cherubs on a string then come and put the crown on his head. Otherwise, it is perhaps... maybe the most boring 120 seconds of cinema I've ever seen in my entire life. And it very much sets the pace for the rest of the film. Mm. It's fucking dreadful.
Not holding back. Diggs, I mean, I just quickly Googled, because I feel like actually we should have done our due diligence before the film.
But it's true.
Did Handel create opera? The answer is yes. And I think you're right that this is what the whole film was about.
Yeah.
Apparently the big difference between so Handel and Bach, this is what comes up,
right?
Both Baroque, I believe. I thought Handel was past Baroque, but maybe he wasn't. So Handel and Bach were both, you know, probably the two most famous Baroque composers. The key difference between the two of them, apparently, is that
of course
Handel wrote opera and Bach did not. So that
right.
So clearly, I think what this film was getting at was like, Handel, you are seriously controversial bloke going and making operas. Like, what the hell are you doing, mate? Stick to the whole kind of, you know, harpsichord.
Just
shit.
Making good tunes. Yeah.
And he went off and did that. But I mean, fair play to the lad. I mean, actually, who's more famous, Handel or Bach? That's a big debate. I'm sure people who are more scholarly on Baroque music have been debating this for years, or maybe it's not even a question, but seems like a big deal.
Yeah. Are you saying, now, when you say Baroque music, is that like rock music, but with a... I've never heard of Baroque music. Are you talking about the drink you have after a hangover? What are we talking about here?
Mate, that is going in the best of 2021. That is brilliant. Okay, now I'm talking to a real idiot, aren't I?
I'm sorry I didn't go to Eton. I have no idea about what's
going
on.
Mate, you don't have to go to a school like that to know what Baroque music is. You just have to have some kind of musical background and education, clearly of which you have none. Baroque
music. What do they teach in this place?
Okay, look, Baroque music. Yeah. So you, it's a bit like art, where you have like Renaissance, the Hugh Renaissance.
Yeah.
You have periods, nice. Right? So music, you've got the Romantic era, which is like more... For music people Morrissey. Out there, please.
Yeah.
I'm probably wrong here, but you got the Romantic era, which is like Mozart, Beethoven. Obviously, you got the modern era, which is like more kind of like Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky and AC/DC. People like that. AC/DC, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Baroque is like the original OP stuff. And basically, what defines baroque music, I believe, is most of it's done on a harpsichord, so before they had a piano.
Right.
After the harpsichord was kind of phased out, that's when you get into more like a classical era where you have the likes of Mozart and Beethoven who came onto the scene and didn't just use a harpsichord. Like, if you play Handel and shit and Bach, often it's not like on a piano. You have to, like, it's better played on, like,
you have to get
an organ or a harpsichord. So that's the big difference. So now I've educated you.
Yeah. Now I know what the hell you're talking about. I absolutely will, because that is fascinating.
It was the rock music of the Baroque era, though, Handel and Bach.
There you go, legends. Well, this is quite cool. This is my link between rock and Handel. So my dad loves Handel, right? And so he also, you know, he loves being a tour guide. So he signed up to take people on tours around Handel's house, where he stayed in London. His house and his flat, I think, is still there. And guess what? In the very same building where the flat of Handel was the flat of a young Jimi Hendrix. So if you give tours of Handel's flat, you have to give a tour of Jimi Hendrix as well. And my dad is like, I'm more of a fan of Jimi Hendrix now. The more I've learned about the guy, the cooler he is, the more I like his music. So now he's gone full circle. Look, so that's the link.
I shouldn't take the piss out of you, because clearly there is a link between rock and baroque.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Taking he for granted, granted. Taking he for granted, granted. Taking he for granted, granted. What did you think, lads? Were they taking he for granted?
Oscar Beardmore Gray, honour, profit and pleasure. It's been an honour, a profit and a pleasure of mine to do this episode with you, I have to say. But we obviously have to do our due diligence here. We have to ask, has this film been taking you for granted, Oscar? Has it?
Diggs, it has, hasn't it? I think we're going to both be in agreeance here. I mean, even if I had got the full sound on this movie...
Yeah,
I'm not sure I would have enjoyed it that much. To be fair, like, the people on, going back to the YouTube comments of this, people, apart from the complaints about the sound, people like, this is a brilliant movie. Like, I'm, we're showing this at the, you know, the Colchester Film Festival next week. And, you know, William Morris, the guy's like, I'm definitely going to be there. I'm not sure why, because the film was bloody crap. and look, again, sadly, it's one of these films that Hugh's in it for like a minute. It's fleeting. Yeah. It's important because it's his first film, but we have to say he's been taking Hugh for granted. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's in it for a minute. I do have to say that the outfits, the sort of bedtime night kip outfit, I did just look at it and I thought, that's just quite embarrassing. I love to see Hugh wearing something stupid, but I actually just felt sorry for him. I was like, Hugh, in your early career, you were meant to be on set getting, you know, finger gunnings, everyone, you know, being like, woohoo, being really hot and sexy and everyone loving you and, you know, smoozing and womanizing and stuff. He would not be womanizing anyone in that. He looked awful. He must have thought to himself, what am I doing here? Like, I look like an idiot.
I think probably, it was a case of like many people, I'm sure, early on in your career, you don't really question what people are going to make you dress up as. It's just like, he's just happy to be there at this point.
Yeah,
once you get a bit further along the line and, you know, you've got your own makeup person, then you can be like, look, I'm not putting that wig on. I'm not having white makeup over my face and a beauty spot.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not doing silly dress up anymore.
No.
And then he does Cloud Atlas and it all comes crumbling down again.
And then he did Sense and Sensibility.
Oh, don't, dude. Don't give me that. That is such a good film. You're the worst. I just want to say as well, at the end of this, William, if you are listening, because obviously, as with all the YouTube videos, we always comment and say, we've reviewed this for taking you. William, if you are listening, thank you so much for uploading it. I'm sorry if you clearly think this is a good film. And I'm sure it is, maybe, with the sound on. It might not be. Actually, I think it's still shite. But you have to understand, I didn't know what Baroque music was. So I was never going to like this. But I just want to say sorry for dragging your film through the mud.
Yeah, and dragging every classical, well, should I say, Baroque pianist. Not even pianist.
Yes.
For dragging every Baroque musician through the mud as well, you bastard.
Yeah, I'm really sorry, everyone.
Go and
I'm
talk
so
to your
sorry.
Dad about Handel and, like, go and listen to something non-stop for a few hours.
Yeah. I'm more of an Elgar fan.
Elgar.
What period was he?
Elgar's called more like modern. Like, I think there's a period between modern and like. Anyway, I'm going to stop pretending I'm an expert on this shit, because I'm not.
Right, listeners, leave your favourite, I don't know, classical musician in the comments below.
Yes.
If this was a YouTube video. Do subscribe, leave a like if you could. And we will see you guys in a couple of weeks. Perhaps we'll be reviewing The Dawning by that point.
Hopefully.
We've received our DVDs. Hopefully, fingers crossed. I think mine's going to arrive quite late, though.
The Dawning is,
so we'll have
the Dawning
see.
Is going all the way across the Atlantic. I mean, those people in like the middle of random place in Canada must be absolutely, you know, they're so pumped.
Yeah.
There's suddenly there's two requests for The Dawning, 1988. It's like, where the hell did that come from?
I don't even know where it is. We have to go up to the loft and try and find
it.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, they'll dust it off. And like,
they're going to two very happy customers. So
Indeed. Well, let's hope we're happy. One of the reviews online for the film said, for Anthony Hopkins fans only. Well, now for Hugh Grant fans too, apparently.
Exactly.
Oh, brilliant. Right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Oscar, thank you so much. And I'll see you then too.
Cheers, mate. See you then.
Bye.
Hey.
Taking Hugh for Granted is produced, edited, and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.